right behind the guy. And
is there a camera I'm supposed to be looking
at? We got this one right here. It's going to catch us. It's going to catch everything.
All right, good.
All right, folks, welcome aboard. Great to have you with me. Thanks so much for tuning in. This is Pastor Greg, and I am here at the Reawaken America Tour, Clay Clark's Reawaken America Tour. And I have been privileged to get introduced to Doug Mahaffey.
Thank you.
And Doug, welcome. Good to have you. Get right on that mic for me, if you would, brother.
Good to be here, Pastor.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, why don't you introduce yourself to our audience?
Well, I'm a federal litigation attorney, part-time in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and have an office in Southern California, Newport Beach. Been practicing law about 35 years and kind of got drawn in through the Clay Clark Reawaken America Tour to jump in with the national vaccine mandate litigation.
Okay.
That's going on virtually all over the country in selective forums and venues. And we're representing the American Airline employees who don't want to take the vaccine.
Okay.
And then a nuclear power plant group out of the panhandle of Texas called Pantex, about 100 to 125 employees of theirs who also don't want to take the vaccine for various reasons. So we're collaborating with good attorneys, including the Attorney General of Texas and hopefully the Attorney General of Oklahoma, to take on the battles.
And hopefully the Attorney General of Virginia now, the new Attorney General in Virginia.
That's right. That's
Mayorkas. I love what he's doing out there, saying to prosecutors, look, if you're not going to prosecute crimes, then I am.
That's excellent. Yeah, that's right. That's going to be a big swing in the persecution of bad guys and bad regulations.
Absolutely. Well, gigantic help. Gigantic help. Well, okay, so let's talk about this, because this quote-unquote mandate concept is something that Biden kind of floated out there. In reality, at one point, he hadn't really signed anything specific to it, but he said that he was going to work through OSHA to try to push companies over 100 employees to mandate these vaccines. And then I guess OSHA is making it so that the companies aren't going to be responsible if people get ill and fall sick and even potentially die.
Yeah, so there's actually four different executive orders. So the genesis of all of this, and this is what was happening a lot during the pandemic, is that governors and the president of the United States have executive branch power.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, the way our country's set up, both at the federal level and the state level, is you have the three branches that are supposed to complement and balance each other: the judiciary branch, that's your judges, Supreme mm-hmm. Court at the federal level, and then you've got your Congress,
legislative branch.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Sure.
So the real issue here is, does the executive branch of the federal government give the power to the president, to Biden, to issue this kind of an order in all the different directions that he did? And what he did is he chose four different pathways. He chose the OSHA pathway, which is for private employers of 100 or more.
Mm-hmm.
He chose the federal contractor pathway.
Mm-hmm.
That's an executive order known as 14042.
Okay.
He chose the Department of Defense pathway. That's all your armed servicemen, Navy servicemen, Marines, and that's the 14043. And then he chose the healthcare pathway, which is the CMS order for the Medicare-Medicaid program. So
okay.
By using four different techniques, if you will, to issue executive orders, he's tried to blanket America through the overreach of the federal government.
Sure.
And trying to basically control individual choices and then strong-arm employers and federal contractors and the Department of Defense employees to comply or suffer the loss of public relations and or contracts and or benefits in the case of the Medicare and Medicaid program to their employer. So it's really a extortion of power, and it came out of a complete misuse of the executive authority power.
Okay. Now, a lot of people are, this is kind of baffling, because this is never, we've never seen anything like this in our history.
Right.
So a lot of people are skeptical to a degree, right? They're like, well, wait, this doesn't, I mean, this sounds too, it just sounds too out there to be believable that the president of the United States is actually acting pretty much like a tyrant, like he's trying to be a king,
right,
of sorts, is kind of what these are. These are kind of tyrannical processes.
Yeah, they really are, because you've got this abuse of power that was never intended to be delegated to the president. You know, the best thing about the American constitutional system, set up all the way back from its founding fathers, was to limit the power of any one branch. Why? Because we came out of the King of England's power.
Sure.
So there was a basic concept in the American spirit that founded our country that we don't want any one authoritative power to be able to delegate laws that don't have checks and balances. So we've done an amazing job in America and our constitutional system. It's the finest in the world to set up the checks and balances. He will not get through with this. Ultimately, he will be struck down just like he did when he tried to pass the moratorium on evictions. So there's already precedent that you don't have this authority, because that came out of the exact same set of overreach where he issued a nationwide law that a moratorium on private evictions was passed, and the Supreme Court struck that down and said, don't do that. If the American Congress, which is supposed to be a representation of all Americans, Senate and the House, if they vote through the normal process to pass a legislative-approved law that goes into authority through your power of presidency to accept it as a binding law, then America spoke. You've called your representatives, you've called your senator, and you, by definition, have participated in a very wide-sweeping rule. Well, that didn't happen with the mandates. There was no representative you could call. There's no senator behind this. There was no bill that was promoted. And it even is worse than that. He actually misused the entire purpose for different legislative agencies that he is not having any power to use for this purpose, that he's now completely tortured to accomplish this. So the one he's using is called the Federal Procurement Act. And the whole concept of the Procurement Act is that I, as a federal government, want to procure services. Let's take our mail system.
Sure.
American Airlines is my case that this is being illustrated on. So there is a contract between American Airlines and the federal government to fly the U.S. mail. Okay, so they're providing a service. Okay, so in concept, the Procurement Act says we're procuring a service from an airline to fly the mail. Mm-hmm. We want that to run efficiently and economically. So the Procurement Act says we're going to give the power to the president to issue directives and to issue policy to make things more efficient.
Okay.
And more economic for the federal government. Okay, that's his window where he's saying, well, the way I'm going to make my mail system more efficient and more economic is I'm going to cram down on American Airlines through their government contract with us, i.e. I'm going to hold over their head the hundreds and hundreds of millions we pay them.
Mm-hmm.
And they want that money, and they don't want to lose this contract to United Airlines to start flying our mail,
mm-hmm.
for example. They have to vaccinate all their workers because they're a government contract. And so you're trying to connect the dots and saying, well, wait a second. How does that make anything more efficient? It's the opposite. People are going to walk out. It's not more economical for the federal government. It's going to be a catastrophe of people walking off the job, missing mail routes now because we don't have postmen who don't want to take the vaccine.
Right.
And now you've got this domino effect of bad economic events happening, not positive. So the whole concept of what he's using is flawed just logically. And then there's layers of this is supposed to be handled by the states. You know, what works in Alaska for its citizens doesn't work in Florida. Why?
Right.
Because there's different climates. So the government of Alaska needs to understand its climate and pass laws for health protection mm-hmm. for people who live in an Antarctic climate. That's not true in Florida. So we get that as Americans. So we power up our states to study the health of its citizens and to impact their health decisions based on what we know is best for our state. And that's a beautiful system. It works seamlessly when it's supposed to work normally. Of course, we saw the abuse of that where governors like Governor Newsom had the same tyrannical power grab and began to pass laws unilaterally through executive orders when that was never the design. But the federal government is now even overreaching beyond what Governor Newsom has done and trying to do it to all 50 states. It's never going to succeed, but it's causing absolute tragic destruction right now in families.
Talk to me about the Obviously, we're talking about the rights of these individuals,
right?
And their ability. At the end of this, there's an overturn, but as there's a lead up to this, you know, you have service members, as an example, that are discharging.
Right.
You have service members that are saying, I want out. I by whatever means, they're being threatened with dishonorable discharges.
Right.
If they attempt to. Will there at some point, do you think, Doug, then be a suit action back that will somehow attempt to make these people whole? And how serious does that become? Because we, the taxpayers, ultimately end up paying that bill too.
Yeah, so it's a great question. So it's going to really divide into those activities that happen through federal employment relationships.
Okay.
So to your illustration, you've got the Department of Defense and the employees who are effectively being paid by the federal government.
Sure.
And then you have the entire private sector, like the American Airlines, the nuclear plant that I'm talking about, Union Pacific Railroad, et cetera,
mm-hmm.
all the big private companies who do work for the federal government. And then you've got the individual employers all over America, every type of business you can conceive of, that have 100 or more. So your three tranches, then you've got your health systems
okay.
that have a blend of that because they are privately run hospitals, but they're receiving federal funds.
Any federal funds
right. for Medicaid and Medicare.
Sure.
So that is the strings that they're controlling all the health care practitioners. Each of those groups of claims will absolutely have lawsuits filed against them based on violations of federal laws. So Title VII, which is coming out of the Civil Rights Act of the 60s.
Sure.
You're old enough with me to know the
yeah.
remember those days.
Yeah.
So that all finally became law in America in the United States Code, that we call that the Civil Rights Act. And it's Title VII,
mm-hmm.
and it protects anybody who's being discriminated against based on a protected class. Gender, you can't send the women to the back and the men to the front. Race,
right.
I can't refuse to hire you because you're from another country. Those protected classes include my religious freedoms.
Sure.
And so a lot of these terminations and discharges are going to fall into civil rights violations where individuals are saying, I was fired in violation of my civil rights protections, in addition to the fact that there was an illegal order that caused this from the federal government. So it's going to be an absolute avalanche of plaintiffs all over America being represented by plaintiff's lawyers who are good at representing big cases of multiple people,
sure.
either in class certification or in group actions, where each individual has its story, and you have a right to put that individual in front of a jury if the person you're suing violated federal law. So it's really an interesting concept because of the fact that if Clay Clark is one of the many who is saying, let's defund the swamp and fund the kingdom, well, let me tell you, this is a way where some God-fearing litigators can fund the kingdom by taking these cases all the way to the end and getting damages for their clients and spending that money to help the kingdom of God. There's going to be a fallout that's going to be astronomical in terms of the damages.
I guess then the other question is, because we look at the general overall, and I know you were listening to your pastor talking earlier about the globalists, about Marxism, about the communists, about what they are doing, about what the CCP is doing to us
right.
as well. And I really believe the CCP is a driving force behind all of this, quite frankly. But that being said, what is the ultimate damage then to our country as a whole? Because you're attacking our military, you're attacking national security, you're attacking an entire elderly population through the Medicaid situation and what may or may not end up as they continue to force this, transportation. I can't think of any area, any sphere that is not being impacted by what is happening to our country right now.
I think
now.
It's going to be catastrophic. Just take one sector to make your point, which is the health sector industry.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, all over America, you have a high percentage of nurses and doctors who have already gone through an exhaustive process of the pandemic and had already an amazing overload of work. And then they're in a system, which we know is prescribing treatments that are completely opposite to what the body should be injecting
yes, sir.
To fight the virus.
Yep.
Now they're being told those same hardworking nurses, physicians, physician assistants, nurse practitioners, that they must vaccinate themselves against their will. They're going to quit. They're going to walk out. I mean, that's happening all over the country.
Sure.
There was just a case filed in the Missouri Sixth Circuit yesterday that's challenging this rule, just like the OSHA rule. It was in the Sixth Circuit, meaning the Court of Appeals.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all being challenged on the same basis, that it's an overreach. Well, the cost to America can't be quantified because you won't have an obstetrician because they've walked out. So that baby can't be delivered on time. Well, what does that mean? You can't have a cancer treatment because that oncologist isn't available. What does that mean?
Right.
But you're, you know, so you're having a domino effect of people who have emergency procedures scheduled now, just in this one sector. Take my nuclear power plant sector. That's the one that's most frightening to my mind. These are trained professionals who have high clearances of security.
Right.
These are individuals who you're giving the greatest trust to because they're managing the most dangerous weapons that have ever been created in America.
Mm-hmm.
These are the guys and mm-hmm. women who protect us by their technical skills. And you're going to lay off 10 or 20% of them because they won't get vaccinated? It's not like you run an Indeed ad and get a nuclear physicist to come in and work on a nuclear bomb.
Right.
So what does that mean to our national security? And what happens when the world who hates us, that's running by the Chinese community, that the Communist Party are pushing to attack America? What a better setup to
sure.
understand. So, I mean, you can just think through a parade of horribles on every one of these and step back and go, this has to be end time stuff. We're going to enter another phase of existence as a human race where we have done more destruction by this single transition of power from Trump to Biden than we've ever seen in our history.
Well, and I've had, I don't know if you're familiar with Nurse Angela, but she's part of vacsafety.com. Mm-hmm. She is one who believed what was being told to them, as a lot of the practitioners did,
yeah.
took the shot immediately upon getting the shot, went into cardiac arrest.
Wow.
Ended up in an ambulance on her way to ER. Hasn't been the same since. And has been speaking out about children now who she has witnessed die.
It's horrible. I mean, one of the things you do as a litigation attorney when you're trying to get an injunction, meaning you're trying to run into a court with your hair on fire and asking the judge to stop something.
Mm-hmm.
Normally in federal cases, you have very orderly, spaced out hearings that take place over months, sometimes years to have hearings.
Sure.
So when you run in to a federal judge and say, stop everything you're working on and make me the front of the line and stop something that's so bad that there'll be no going back if we don't stop it, you have to have tremendous evidence for that.
Sure.
There had really better be an emergency. So what litigation attorneys are having to do is they're having to package up these physician declarations. So right. Dr. McCulloch, Dr. Ryan Cole, you can mm-hmm. name a lot of them that you've seen through the Reawaken America tour.
Sure.
The finest epidemiologists, the finest physicians in America are coming now with declarations to explain how dangerous the vaccines are, how they were gone through an emergency authorization process that was a mockery, how
right.
the contents of them are deadly, how there's absolutely no knowledge of what they're going to end up doing to our youth and our young adults. I mean, every niche of the danger is being covered by these declarations, and they're not from one side of the political spectrum. They're from liberal universities.
Sure.
They're from physicians who are not Christians. Okay, so it's a collection of science minds that are saying this is a gross abuse of what vaccination was supposed to mean, and then they're concluding with these sober predictions. So you talk about what's the impact on America. If you think that there's going to be an impact in the next year or two, wait until it becomes true, as these doctors are predicting, that we're going to have 10 or 20% of the people that are dying, maybe up to 50% in certain categories. What is that going to do to our employment chains, our
sure.
government, our churches, just the day-to-day operations of a supply chain of food?
Yep.
I mean, we really, you know, we can sit on an interview and sort of touch on this, but the truth of it is it's incomprehensible if what these very well-trained scientists are saying becomes true. So it's a strange opportunity for the demons to destroy a big portion of America through this process.
And of course, we know that there is that element that absolutely wants that to happen.
That's prophesied.
Because America stands in the way of it. But we know also that God has created always and continues to create a remnant.
Well, and I think it's fascinating to think about Jesus stepping in with the greatest power of supernatural healing in our history.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine the revival?
Sure.
All of these people who don't know Christ and or have a limited faith, and they were dangerously advised to take the vaccine, and now they're facing death. They're watching. We have a
prayer actually through my deliverance ministry.
Wow.
That we've been praying. Dr. Tenpenny actually was healed.
Wow.
There are a number of people who felt that there was something that was released at one of Clay's events not long ago.
Wow.
Praise God. Dr. Tenpenny had shortness of breath ever since then, along with some other things going on. Prayed for her at the Trinity Health Freedom Expo up in Illinois.
Wow.
Prayed that prayer with her over. It's on video on my website at chosengenerationradio.com. She was instantly healed.
That's amazing. And that's exactly what I hope happens, because the destruction in your own family is unfathomable.
Oh, I know.
All of us are going to have children and or grandchildren that are affected, because despite having faith-filled churches and families, people in the church decided to take this vaccine against the sound wisdom of the Holy Spirit that should have convicted them otherwise. So the fallout's going to be an amazing bad thing in terms of humanity, but it could be the greatest revival we've ever seen for the power of Jesus to come in and heal people and bring them into the remnant. Now, how cool is that going to be?
Oh, it's going to be very cool. No, I saw that.
That's amazing.
I died four times 4 years ago.
Wow.
And God showed me the power of the name of Jesus Christ and what it did to change an entire atmosphere. And he showed me how the church had paired itself with the wrong side.
Wow.
He actually showed me that. So I'm with you, brother. I'm with you. Thank you. How do folks reach you? Because this is important. They need to know how to help themselves.
The website is mahaffeylaw.com, www.mahaffeylaw.com.
Okay.
So if you go on there, we have some landing pages that walk you through the two cases that we're currently filing, American Airlines and Pantex. But we also have information for people who aren't with American Airlines or Pantex. There's a whole set of forms to fill out. Because there's a lot of group actions that really need a whole lot greater
an entirely different legal pressing
angle
set
right.
and angle and yes
and right
strategy.
Now in my mind, the one that has to be pushed hard right now is the healthcare practitioners.
Okay, can we pray for them? And I want to pray for you.
Thanks, I do.
I would really like to do that. So, folks, join with me wherever you are watching, listening right now. Heavenly Father God, we just come into your presence now and we give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor, Father. You are worthy of our praise, not because of anything you've done, but Father God, because of who you are. And we worship you, Father God, now in spirit and in truth. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, for his death, resurrection, and ascension. And we thank you, Father God, that we might present ourselves before you a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you, which is our reasonable service.
Yes.
Father, you said to come boldly before your throne in our time of need. And Father, we are in great need right now. But God, we also are not desperate, because we know that you are moving in the midst of all of this.
That's right.
I ask you, Father, to continue to give my brother Doug and the legal teams wisdom, strategies. I ask you, Father God, to show them, Lord God, every step of the way, Father, the direction that they need to take in the name of Jesus Christ. Every step, Father God. And Lord, you prayed that your glory, your doxa, would be upon every believer, Father God, that it would bring unity to the body of Christ.
Right.
We declare that right now in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We declare your glory to fall on every believer, and unity, Father God, to bring us together.
Right.
So that you, Father God, would be glorified, and that those that are bound and lost and walking in darkness would be set free from that darkness and turn to the light. And Lord, for those right now that are suffering because they took in this injection, for those, God, that are suffering, Father God, because of the oppression that is happening.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus Christ, we speak healing and we speak provision now. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, healing and provision now. And we thank you, Father God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.
Yes, we do.
Amen.
Amen. I join. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Pastor. It was a privilege to be here, and you're doing an awesome work. I hope to connect soon.
Thank you, sir.